In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Thank you, Giles. Well, good evening. It's lovely to see so many of you here, to see so many familiar faces and also so many guests. You're very, very welcome. It's lovely to have you with us. Christmas is almost upon us. And Christmas is a time when we do rather strange things. We eat turkey for a start. We don't normally eat it at other times of year, but at Christmas, it's the main thing. Christmas cards have been sent. Christmas puddings been made or bought. And so we do all these strange things. We also give gifts. You may say to me, well, we give gifts at other times too, which is true. We give gifts at anniversaries. We give gifts at birthdays, at weddings. So there are lots of other occasions when we give gifts, but we give gifts differently at Christmas because everyone gives gifts to everybody. And so we give gifts differently at Christmas than at other times. And so there's, if you like, a sort of bursting forth of generosity. Gifts from all to all. And that doesn't happen usually on other occasions. It just happens at Christmas. And this is significant because this brings us to the heart of Christmas, to the very, very heart of Christmas. Because what we do at Christmas is we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ was given. Given at a particular point in history. Given when Caesar Augustus was the emperor in Rome, Quirinius was the governor in Syria, Pontius Pilate was in Jerusalem, as was the puppet king Herod. So at a particular time, in a particular place, this gift was given. When God, the source of light and life and love, stepped down into this world. God stepped down into the world. And if that had never happened, what would we have had if that had never happened? Well, we would have lived in a land of deep darkness. That's what Isaiah said, that people living in a land of deep darkness, we'd have lived in deep darkness, in a world of violence and despair. If the angel had never come to Mary, if Caesar had never issued a decree that all the world shall be taxed, and if Mary and Joseph had never gone to Bethlehem, as C.S. Lewis once said, without Jesus Christ, we would have had winter, but never Christmas. We would have had winter, but never Christmas. We would have had perpetual darkness. I think C.S. Lewis got that idea from the Venerable Bede, who wrote the first history of the English-speaking peoples. And he was comparing what life was like in these islands before Christianity came. Now, bear in mind, this is the first history ever of the English-speaking peoples. And the Venerable Bede said to him that it seemed like it would have been like a swift flight of a sparrow that flies into the king's feasting house, where the king is seated on a throne drinking mead with all his warriors in front of a raging fire. Outside are the wintry storms of sleet and snow and wet and mud, and the swift flies into the hall. For a brief second there's light, and there's back into the outer darkness. And so the bird passes from winter to winter. And C.S. Lewis says that's what life would have been like. Without Jesus, we'd have had winter, but never Christmas. Where we sing of one who came down from heaven, who is Lord and God of all. And so back in the day, they didn't have that. They didn't have Christmas gifts. The Romans didn't give each other Christmas gifts. It didn't exist. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was himself a gift. Isn't that one of the prophets of Israel said? To us a child is born, to us a son is given. Given. John, who wrote the gospel, said this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not go from winter to winter, should not perish, but have eternal life. But it's a strange, strange gift, isn't it? Isn't it? A son. That's what the angel said. The angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That sounds great. I'd love a Savior. If you ask the shepherds, do you need a Savior? They'd have all said, yes. Why would they need a Savior? They would need a Savior because those shepherds lived, breathed, and died under the mighty Caesars in Rome. And so of course they needed a Savior. They knew that. That was their daily prayer. That someone powerful would come into their lives, who would throw the Romans back into the sea from where they came. Because they wanted to be saved from cruelty. They wanted to be saved from oppression. They wanted to be saved from all that made them sad. They wanted to be saved from death. From going out into the darkness. That's a yearning we all have, isn't it? Is that a yearning? I bet it is. I bet it's a yearning deep in your heart. That deep, deep down inside, we all want to be saved from everything in this world that is broken. From broken relationships. From everything that is dark and cold. Everything that causes us misery. A friend of mine who is a vicar once said to me, Nigel, what we need to be saved from, at the end of the day, we need to be saved from hankies, hospitals, and hearses. And so we need a powerful Saviour. We need one who is mighty to save, one whose arm is not so short that it cannot save. We need a mighty, powerful Saviour. And yet the angels say, unto you this born this day, this will be a sign to you, all you who are yearning for a Saviour, you'll be given a sign and you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes so it can't move, and this will be the sign of your salvation. But what? That's weird. What kind of Savior is that? That's a weak Savior. That baby can't get rid of the Romans. How does that happen? A baby can't defeat all the powerful forces of evil in the world. A baby can't defeat death. And yet the angels say, this is a sign to you. A sign to you. And it just blows your mind. But if this is a sign to us, and it's the angel speaking, let's just try and work out what's happening. How is this a sign to me? The sign to me is a bit of a rebuke, I think, kind of. It kind of humbles me. Because when I keep on thinking that I need a Savior, I need to be saved from all those other people out there. Right? I need to say from all those out there, those people who are oppressing me and putting me down, that's why I need to be saved from them. The other day I heard the Bishop of Birkenhead speaking. And he was saying he's never known us as a nation to be so divided as we are at the moment. We're a country facing deep divisions. And I was trying to think back, when have we been as divided as we are now? I mean, I'm not a historian, but I went back to the 1640s. I went back to the Civil War. And it may mean that we're as divided now as we were back then. And we live in a precarious moment in our history, I think, because we're all blaming everybody else. They're the ones. I need to be saved from them. The Brexiteers, the Remainers, the Progressives, the Elites, the Deplorables, it's Boris Johnson, it's Jeremy Corbyn. These are the people I need to be saved from. And yet, when the angel said, this will be a sign to you, and he's pointing to a baby, what the angels are saying, no, no, my dear friends, the problems aren't people out there. The problems are you. The problem is deep in your heart. This baby is a sign to you, because if he did not come in weakness, but came instead in power to judge the living and the dead, and he's going to wield his sword of justice, no one is going to escape from the battlefield alive. So he has to come in weakness. Because Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world through him might be saved. Might be saved. And so Jesus comes in weakness. He comes in humility. The great prophet Isaiah said that when he comes, he'll come as a servant. He'll come meek and lowly, and he'll come in such gentleness. Listen to this from the prophet Isaiah, that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And so this is a sign to us. That's the first thing. He's a baby, he's a child, he's a sign to us. He's a bit of a rebuke. Because this child humbles us, he subdues us, he humbles our pride, he lays us low, and that's traumatic. No wonder the shepherds were sore afraid. Now, it's at this point that people tend to turn away. They turn away from the sign because they don't want the secrets of their hearts to be exposed. And so the angels say, wait, wait. Because all this is a sign to you. This is also a message of great joy for all people. So although it's a sign to you, it's also a message of great joy for all people. So don't turn away just because it's getting traumatic. And so the angel said, I'll bring you good news. There'll be a cause of great joy for all people. I love the balance. A sign to you and yet a message of great joy for all people. And so you say to me, okay, fine. I've followed your argument so far, but how does this work? Let me put it like this. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ came down to earth from heaven. He came down. We say that in the creed, that Jesus Christ was God from God, light from light, true God from true God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. And throughout his life, he keeps on going down. He was brought low before the religious courts of the day. And the religious leaders beat him and they struck him. And when they struck him, they said, prophesy. Who is it who struck you? And so then they handed him over to the secular courts, the Romans. And the Romans handed him over to put a crown of thorns on his head. And they whipped him. And he kept on going down. Finally, they put a cross in his back and he fell down into the dust. For that's what God said to us, men and women. He said, dust you are and to dust you will return. And so Jesus Christ goes down into the dust, but he goes even further down. Because then they stripped him naked, nailed him to a cross, thrust a spear into his side, and after he was killed, they put him into a tomb. He came down to earth from heaven, who was God and Lord of all. My friends, can you see what Jesus was doing? He was humbling himself to death. He's saying to us, I'm taking your plight and I'm making it mine. I'm taking your sorrow and I'm making it mine. I'm taking your grief and your broken relationships and I'm making it mine. I'm taking onto myself your sin and I'm making your sin mine. I'm taking it all. I'm going to become that bruised reed that was broken. I'm going to become that smoldering flax and I am going to be snuffed out. Now, at the end of the service, you'll all be given a book. I think it's probably already on your chairs. It's written by a colleague called Glenn Scrivener. Do take it. It's very short. Do take it. Do read it. And in this book, Glenn Scrivener says this. Jesus is saying, your plight will be my plight. Your struggles will be my struggles. Your debts will be my debts. When Jesus saw in the pit of our own making, he resolved to love us. On the cross, he was paying our debts, taking our judgment, suffering our hell. He perished so that we might not perish, but have eternal life. This was the death we should have died, and he died it in your place. So you do not have to go from winter to winter. But Jesus was powerful. He was a powerful Savior. Because in the tomb, on the third day, he rose triumphant because he was so powerful, he shattered the bonds of death. He took death, if you like, and he broke its back. And he said those words that I often open funeral services with in this church. The words are these. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's why Jesus Christ is not only just a sign to us, he is good news of great joy for all people. This is why we give gifts at Christmas. It's a memory trace of that event millennia ago. This is why at Christmas there's feasting and dancing and singing and carols, for ahead of us is not just bleak wintry darkness. Ahead of each and every one of us is hope and joy and eternal life. Listen to what John said. Giles read it out earlier. He said this: as many as received him, and others were meek to receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen.